News now.
Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Ask the CIO with your host, Jason Miller.
And our special guest today is Jim Gwynn, the Agriculture Department's Farm Service Agency's Chief Information Officer. Jim, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Jason.
I know we've been working to get you to come on the show for quite some time, so I'm glad you're here. And let's start with some basics. The mission of the USDA's Farm Service Agency. Give us the, you know, 2-minute version of what you guys do, what your mission is.
Well, at FSA, we provide the income support, disaster assistance, farm credit, and resource stewardship programs for America's farmers, ranchers, and producers. And all this is in an effort to provide sustainable agriculture growth across America that feeds the nation and others across the world. That's the short version. The longer version is we build a lot of the programs and technologies that support those programs across our organization through our IT department. And within the IT structure, we see ourselves as foundational to leveraging our abilities and our capabilities to help manage those programs over long periods of time. Many of these programs are supported for many years, particularly in the loan and loan servicing areas and in many of the farm programs.
One of the things that you do as a CIO, I imagine, is support those systems that support making those loans. Talk about your role as CIO. How do you support the mission?
Well, I personally would tell you that my background in technology, it may come as a surprise that I don't see myself as much as a technologist as I do a catalyst for supporting business. I don't think the technology is the end-all, be-all result of anything aside from enabling the ability of the county offices and the people that support directly the farmers and producers, enabling them to do their jobs better and driving the quality of their work up and the quantity of their work, unnecessary work in particular, down through technology. So technology is an enabler, and my job is to make sure that we facilitate that enablement and provide the resources necessary, both human resources and hardware and software resources, to support that mission.
Interesting that you kind of took yourself as that catalyst. I think a lot of CIOs are looking at themselves in a very similar regard, especially when we start talking about business needs and the mission critical needs that IT must meet. Would you put yourself then in more of a strategy role and less of as a day-to-day operations role, or do you kind of have a foot, if you will, in both rooms?
I really have a foot in both rooms. I'm accountable for both the strategy of the IT organization at FSA and facilitating the IT strategy from the agency perspective into the department, USDA. But the shoe on the other foot for a minute, I would tell you that a lot of what I do is in the day-to-day operation, making sure that we sustain the program support, the loan support, everything that we've done for many years, that we continue to do that while at the same time driving new technologies to bear for the purpose of modernizing our infrastructure and our support system such that we can become much more flexible and agile over time. That's both on the human side and on the technology side. We need to do that as well with our people to make sure that we train and educate our people as technologies change.
And I imagine also training people to look more strategically, and not everything is just stick a new piece of software on there. Really, what's the business goal? What's the end goal you're trying to solve? Is that part of that training?
That is absolutely part of that training. And in fact, to give you an example of that, in this coming year, in the next fiscal year, we are embarking on a program that will literally send all of our IT organization to the field, into the county offices and small teams, to see firsthand the county office employees at work, to help them better understand the purpose they serve from the technology side and what they're attempting to enable and see it firsthand. Too often developers, software developers, can get caught up in the activity of developing software and meeting schedules and all those things and lose sight of the end result and what they're attempting to achieve. And I think this purpose is best served by putting the faces and the names and the hands together to help form a better set of requirements and a better purpose for the organization.
I think that's great. I don't think I've ever heard a CIO actually come out and say, we're going to send our people to the field versus have the field come to us or have conference calls with the field or something. But I think getting that, that firsthand experience is going to be really beneficial for both sides, because I think the people in the field will understand, okay, now I understand what you guys have to go through to make a change or develop something, and vice versa. Now, are these just federal employees, or are you sending certain contractors out too? Because obviously in today's government, there's a pretty huge blended workforce.
There is a blended workforce, and I will tell you that initially the program is to send our people, our personnel to the field. But as well, we want to make sure that we can extend that ability to get some of the contractors out there. We've been conducting with the department recently a series of listening sessions. We've done a number of those where we've gone not only to the county offices, state and county offices, but also to the farmers and producers, just literally listening to what they have to say with respect to the issues they have, and getting program support and understanding what and how our programs work, and understanding how they can evolve the relationship with their county office employees in a better way, and through technology enabling them to enroll in programs, to be educated on programs much better, much sooner. We're attempting in that effort to make sure that we hear what the field has to say, we correlate that to what the farmers and producers have to say, and then we flip that around and send all of our programmers and developers to the field to correlate that information and come back with a series of data sets that we can utilize to better enable technology, our technology to the field.
That's fascinating. Let me ask you, how many people are we talking about from your office are going to go out there? You said everyone, but how big is your office?
My office currently employs, we have just under 400 employees, and we have at least that many contractors. I think we're running currently about 500 contractors supporting the organization, so roughly 900 people.
And that's a great, actually, ratio. I've heard some IT organizations, Homeland Security, for instance, has a 7-to-1 ratio contractors to employees. Yours is almost 1-to-1.
Almost. Not quite yet.
I think everyone's trying to reduce that ratio to maybe not 1-to-1 like you guys, but at least 3-to-1, 4-to-1. So you're going to send about 400 people out. Are you going to do this small team? So we're talking about 3 to 5 people, 10 to 20 people, and then once a month, once a week. Give me some sense of how this program is going to work.
Across FSA, we support just over 2,200 county offices. And we're starting this because of the constrained budgets, the environment that we're in with respect to travel and expenses. We're starting this by sending folks within driving distances of where they are, looking at 150-mile radius being the driving distance. And we're going to do this over a period of time so that we don't inundate the field with a lot of IT people showing up and taking up time out of their day. So what we'll do is we'll send 3 to 5 people, probably teams of up to, I would say, 8, no more than that, going at any point in time to a county office. But these can happen concurrently because of the number of county offices that we support today.
And is the end result, let's say 2012, once you've been through this, or as you kind of go along, is the end result just better understanding of needs, or are you looking to, we're going to make some specific changes, we're trying to understand how these changes will affect the county offices? Is that end result, or is there a combination?
It's a combination of both. I mean, I'm a firm believer that technology is only one component, and you have to have change in 2 other components at least to have success with any technology deployment you have. One of those is in the process. We have to look at the process and make sure that we're working to our least common denominator, meaning, and by my terms, that we're getting to the objective in the shortest number of steps or tasks necessary to achieve that objective. And what we don't want to do is go replicate existing process into the enablement of new technology, meaning that I don't want to go off and build software utilizing existing process if those process aren't the best available process for achieving that objective. Then the third component, and probably the most important one, is the people aspect. We have to make sure that people are talking to people in terms that one another understands. And too often we get into technologists or IT people talking in IT lingo that business people don't necessarily either understand or care to understand. And then the flip side is too often we talk in the business terms so much so that we're so high level that we can't get it down to the real bare-bone tactics of what needs to be done to make the changes and the enhancements to our software to support the needs as they're stated. So we have to get a balance of the two in the equation.
It's almost you're describing the problem every agency has, requirements definition. All right, fascinating. We're going to have to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about your office, and we'll get into some of your priorities, which obviously I think we've already started to touch upon. But you're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Jim Gwynn, the USDA's Farm Service Agency's Chief Information Officer.
CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. CIOs and IT directors, are you paying for capacity services that you're not using? Take a good look at your capacity services contract, and next time, make sure you're not signing just another lease. Ask the experts. Vion Corporation, you can create a plan so that you only pay for what you use. When your job is on the line with data storage decisions, that's the way to go. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with integrity and quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Jim Gwynn, the Farm Service Agency's Chief Information Officer. Now, Jim, before break, we talked a little bit about your priority to get IT people out into the field, to have them really talk to the county and state offices, as well as the farmers and producers to understand their needs. You said you had about 400 federal employees and about 500 contractors. How big is your IT budget? I mean, you've got to have a little bit of money to send these people out there, even within driving distance.
The IT budget for fiscal year 10 was about $377 million. Within that number, sounds like a big number, but within that number, there's a lot of infrastructure and support dollars in there for managing a very old and antiquated technology infrastructure at FSA. Part of the reason I'm here is to try to modernize that technology.
And that network itself, you mentioned it's old and antiquated. So are you guys centralized, decentralized, some kind of hybrid? I mean, how does your network work as you talk about, I think you said 2,200 field offices?
Yes, we have just over 2,200 county offices that we support across the nation. Many of the technology struggles that we face not only as an agency but as a department that we're faced with resolving is how do we get the technology to reach the final endpoints of our county offices such that we can provide those offices with the bandwidth necessary to even drive the software applications that we're building. Much of the stuff that we build today is much more graphical in nature. It's demanding from a throughput perspective, so we need to make sure that we have that in mind as we build software. We can only look at it through the technology lens for so long before we figure out that there's users on the other end of this technology that have to be able to utilize it.
Are your county offices in small towns, in large cities, or do they tend to be more focused in population centers?
No, almost exclusively for FSA, these county offices are in the small towns across rural America.
And I imagine getting that broadband access sometimes is more challenging than others.
Absolutely it is. That last mile can be the difference in the equation.
Let's talk about your priorities at the Farm Service Agency.
I talked about bandwidth and graphical interface. It's geospatial information systems is pretty key to our support structure in the county offices. We look at agricultural landscape through an aerial photography mechanism that's called NAIP, or the National Agriculture Imagery Program. We utilize that in conjunction with many of the other agencies, but FSA has all the aerial contracts that provide these geospatial services. And through that, we need to make sure that we're building capabilities through GIS software to modernize our ability to see horizontally across many farms that any producer or farmer may have. And one of the exercises that we've taken on is the modernization of that particular aspect of our business. And we expect to see that come to fruition in the next fiscal year, probably in the next 9 months or so. We have a number of other programs. We've been dealing with farm loan programs for quite a while from a modernization perspective. And through the farm loan program modernization efforts, we're seeing the home stretch. I would guesstimate we're probably somewhere in the 80 to 85% complete range in that area, and supporting not only loan making but loan servicing under a modernized technology structure. And then we have a number of enterprise programs ranging from financial management system modernization to commodity system and supply chain management modernization, and ultimately budget and performance management system modernization that the department is driving and FSA is participating in. And then central to everyone's agenda within FSA. We're dealing with a program called MIDAS, which is to modernize and innovate the delivery of our agriculture systems in support of our farm program area. That's the farm program, farm bill activities. It's part of the 2008 farm bill, and then upcoming in the 2012 farm bill, we expect to see more work to be done there. MIDAS is a big program for FSA.
Yeah, I remember hearing about MIDAS when it was being let, and a couple of vendors had talked to me about it, say, oh, you should look into this. It's a big program. So let's start there. What's going on with it? You said that modernizing systems in support of the farm program areas. How far into it are you? Give us some kind of status report.
It's been in discussion at FSA for several years prior to my coming on board. However, in the past fiscal year, we started to see some of the legislation drive money into the equation for us to really start getting the program kicked off and off the ground. We've made some pretty good early progress in getting the contracts in place. In the past 6 months, we've signed a large system integrator contract. We've gotten our independent verification and validation contract in place, and we've set about to putting the planning stages for our first task for this delivery. We've just completed a number of gate reviews that enable us to really start to scope in on the work that needs to be done and correlate that to the need on the program side. So we've set about to check all the boxes necessary to ensure that we're doing the right things at the right points in time to make the largest impact to our farm program area. So I'm beginning to see some real traction there and pleased with the progress to date.
Now, you also talked about geospatial. I think that's a big area of growth within the federal government. You said FSA manages all the aerial contracts to provide those geospatial services around the farming community. Talk about what you're doing there. You think that system or that modernization of that system really should be ready to go in the next 9 months or so?
There's really two facets to that. There's the aerial contracts and the ortho imagery that's provided across the nation, and it's specifically leaf-on type imagery that's essentially taking pictures during the peak periods of agricultural production. And these farms that are managed by our farmers and producers across America have to be viewed through common land units to make sure that we're looking at the right imagery at the right points in time. And we can see things not only, you know, to help better manage programs, but also to look at disaster, for instance, to look at time sequencing of data so that you can essentially see erosion happening in the lands or natural lake growth that eats into agricultural land and what that really does to production up or down in a state or in a given county or region. What we're doing is the second piece of what we're doing there is in the GIS space. That's in the software layer. And how do we look at this in a better way across all of the various tools that we have available to us? And the way we've historically done that is we've provided the imagery on a local server in each of the county offices with the data specific to that particular region or area being supported by that county office. The good news is everything's at your fingertips in the county office. The bad news is you can't really see horizontally outside of your region without some extra work being done to get the extra imagery out to your office so that you can see other farmers or producers' lands beyond your county boundaries. What we're doing by modernizing is pulling this into a centralized mechanism such that you can see horizontally across any of this that you want, and then extending this ability into other program areas, for instance, in the loan areas, some of the other ways we can use geospatial imagery to better view some of the data that we have available to us.
That's fascinating. I think GIS is one of those underutilized technologies across government, and it sounds like you guys are putting it to good use and potentially could be a model for other agencies, even if they don't work in the farming and farm service area.
That's correct, and I couldn't agree more with your statement. I think that it's a very underutilized resource that, used effectively, we can extend the ability to geospatially image many things, and much of what we do today on spreadsheets and a lot of databases and within a lot of databases and those sort of things can be much more productive and better used if we could put it into a picture rather than a lot of numbers and words.
And then you add the Web 2.0 tools and do mashups. There's so much you can do with the data. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, maybe we'll talk some more about your priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Jim Gwynn, the USDA's Farm Service Agency's Chief Information Officer.
CIOs and IT directors, are you paying for capacity services that you're not using? Take a good look at your capacity services contract, and next time, make sure you're not signing just another lease. Ask the experts. Vion Corporation, you can create a plan so that you only pay for what you use. When your job is on the line with data storage decisions, that's the way to go. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with integrity and quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Jim Gwynn, the Farm Service Agency's Chief Information Officer. Now, Jim, before break, we talked a fair amount about your priorities. One of them was MIDAS, which is your big system to modernize kind of the systems that support farm program areas. But you also are taking a different tact around MIDAS, and you're implementing Lean Six Sigma, which is obviously a business process improvement program. We're seeing that a lot across government. Talk a little bit about where you're at in terms of implementing Lean Six Sigma, and how is it helping already?
Well, I would tell you, first of all, that I believe that MIDAS as a program is as much about people and process change as it is about implementing new technology. New technology by itself will do us little good in this area unless we change many of the processes and the way we support our business today. We've built upon very old process over many, many years for legitimate purposes because we had to implement quickly without the technology to support us. But what we don't want to do is leverage that same process without technology on top of new technology. I think that would be a disaster, meaning that we would not be able to achieve the goals and objectives that we're setting out to. The FSA has already started the exercise of leveraging our Lean Six Sigma across the MIDAS area. In fact, we did a number of field visits where we went through and identified over 900 what we would call pain points in the field that need to be addressed as a component of MIDAS and modernization. Many of these things, more than 50% in fact, were identified as being achievable through process change without the ability to put in new technology, meaning that we don't have to do and employ new technology necessarily to achieve the objective to satisfy the pain point or alleviate the pain point. Many of these things also we consider to be low-hanging fruit or quick hits, as we call them. And the quick hits, we're actually taking those already, and we've structured a program around all of our leadership team, both inside and outside of IT, to address many of these things, much of them just organizational strategy, tactical type things that we need to do that will enable us to achieve many of the things that were found to be pain points as a component of MIDAS. So my thesis statement in that is it's as much about process change as it is about technology change with this program.
Now, obviously, you're applying Lean Six Sigma to MIDAS, but is this kind of a pilot, if you will? Maybe that's not the best word, but an example of, okay, we're going to try it with MIDAS because it's a big, major project, and then if this works well, which we expect it to, we'll apply it to other programs and projects?
We're already beginning to do some of that. We're looking at Lean Six Sigma as a training mechanism to train people how to leverage methodology in particular. With all of the things that we do, it can be used, you know, without technology even in the discussion equation in many cases. So it's beyond IT that we're looking at things like Lean Six Sigma to help us better manage how we do business.
Lean Six Sigma is one of those things you have to get people trained first to understand how the process works, and then they can apply that training internally. Did the agency send people to get, I think they're called black belts or green belts?
Yes, there's several belts with Lean Six Sigma, and yes, we have sent people to the training. In fact, we have some dollars in our MIDAS program specifically attributed to that purpose, to make sure that the people that are working on our MIDAS program are actually being trained on Lean Six Sigma methodologies.
And obviously, that's the type of money that you spend today. Well, the payoff over the years will be incredible because then they can go apply that same methodology to other programs and other projects.
Absolutely. It's not specific to a given project.
Very nice. And I think that's something that's, again, another trend we're seeing across government is the idea of not just Lean Six Sigma, but similar methodologies to how do we improve business processes. And that's a huge, huge issue for a lot of agencies. Let's jump over to some of the leading edge technologies that you probably will have to apply Lean Six Sigma to in the future, such as cloud computing, even something like Web 2.0, which is seems like been around now for a couple of years, but people are really just getting into it. How are you guys at the Farm Service agencies really implementing such things as cloud computing and other buzzworthy technologies?
Well, I would take something like Web 2.0 and probably more generalize it into something that's more along the lines of extending the capabilities of a web environment to or the World Wide Web environment in particular, for the purpose of educating and communicating across boundaries. Things like blogs and wikis and all the social networking that we hear about in our everyday lives are very much a component of this type of capability. And within FSA, we've already started to leverage some of these capabilities today. And in fact, in my own organization, we've deployed development wikis where it's a collaborative tool that enables our developers to talk about how they do configuration and certain development in an effort, hopefully, to get them out of their box or out of their cubicles, at least for the purpose of doing more collaborative communication across the organization. We've also extended these types of capabilities into a lot of the communication mechanisms across the agency, even outside of our IT organization.
Well, we are unfortunately almost out of time. This has been actually a very fascinating conversation in many ways. And before I let you go, I want to talk about you for a little bit. You've been CIO at the Farm Service Agency for how long? Where else have you worked, inside or outside of government?
I came to the agency, through a recruiting arm from outside of government. I've never been inside of government until this particular position. And I've been here just over 18 months, I guess, kind of getting my feet wet, if you will, drinking from the fire hose, learning all there is to learn in as short a period of time as I can, and finding that we have much work to do, not only across the agency, but across the department, across government, to better enable our people to leverage the potential that they have through technology as the enabler or the catalyst. My previous experience prior to this is I was retired for a while, came out of retirement to take on this job. The last place that I worked was with Verizon Business. I was their vice president of networks, IT network systems, where I managed the network planning and engineering systems, the network monitoring and management systems, and all of the network provisioning systems, traffic, fraud, and security systems. I grew up in the state of West Virginia. My family was involved in small farming. It wasn't high production farming, but with small farming. And my wife's family as well, she came from a farming community. So I do have a farming background there and a certain amount of respect and admiration for the farming community and what they do. So I do have that background. I haven't done that for many years. I spent more than 20 years in the telecom industry, 25 years, in fact, in the telecom industry. And much of my educational background is in management. So I've kind of covered the gamut as it relates to the pieces and parts that make up my role here at FSA.
Very nice. Well, we could probably continue to talk for quite a while, but unfortunately we are out of time. And you've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today was Jim Gwynn, the USDA's Farm Service Agency's Chief Information Officer. Jim, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, Jason. I've enjoyed the conversation.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM WFED, your source for federal news now.